Rani's has called women out of their households to go up to the mountains and be one with divinity. Now, this is a quality that not everyone has, the ability to go into nature and feel one with the divinity of the earth, the trees, the mountains, the rivers. There's an Artemis quality as well with Dionysus and nature. But Dionysus brings it into a mystical element that is ecstatic, or can be. And it involves often the woman who does dancing to drums. And one of the things that's interesting about women's spirituality movement is there is a quality of using ritual music and drumming and heartbeat music and the getting into it and twirling. You know, the ecstatic, the Sufi dancers are being very Dionysian in that sense. So yes, it's important. One's spirituality, one's sense of one with nature, with one with the universe, with one with divinity, how lonely we are without it.
Mm.
So Dionysus gives us a sense of divinity within us. The idea of taking the God in terms of communion and becoming one with God inside of ourselves, that actually began with Dionysus. One of the interesting things about mythology and especially symbology is watching symbols cross over into new eras. So Dionysus was often seen as a child, as well as a grown person. And when he was seen as a child, or even as a grown person, often he had what looked like an upside-down pineapple on the end of a stick. Well, actually, it was always a pine cone, and it had a name, a thyrsus. And when you see statues of Mary with a baby Jesus, in many parts of the world, there's that upside down. There's that pine cone. So there's a Dionysian element. He was the god that was torn apart and reborn. And so there's a similar sort of energy around the archetype of Jesus.
Mm.
And that's what I find so fascinating about the archetypes, is that they stay alive through culture and through us. And when we actually are able to, you know, to feel the power of any one of the archetypes that are our own ones, and all of us have all of them in us as recognizable at some level, but it's like any human gift. Some of us have a musical ear, or some of us have a tin ear. All of us can learn something about music, but there are geniuses in music, and those folks just... this is their archetype.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I think is so interesting about what you've been sharing is how important it is to discover these qualities. You see through the archetype as like a mirror of a part of ourselves, but then there's also opening to this fuller spectrum of other archetypes too. So you're kind of expanding your range, not only your kind of like core archetype, but also your range. And I know that you know, you've done all this work with gods and goddesses. How do the gods archetypes help to complement the activation of goddess energies that that people are working with?
Oh, for both men and women, there's a sense of being able to do wholeness. I mean, that's the whole idea, really. The idea of wholeness, the idea that we innately have both masculine and feminine qualities in ourselves. And if we can consciously grow into both sides and develop the way in which we are feminine or the way in which we are masculine and the particular ways in which we are who we are shaped by archetypes, but the masculine and feminine archetypes then are part of what we can draw from inside ourselves if we are allowed to do that. And the idea of having women educated and growing into actually being able to use mind and power and organization like men have done, then a woman comes in, but and she and he may share archetypes actually, but when it comes to crisis like we are right now in the world, or personal crisis, men and women do tend biologically to respond to crisis in different ways, and this is when we need both men and women, like now, because women respond to stress with an oxytocin response. That is, if you think about what a woman does when there's a job crisis or a relationship crisis or a kid crisis, it's she wants to talk it over. She wants to talk and find solutions. And so a crisis evokes what the researchers at UCLA call the tend and befriend response. It's you're stressed, but when you talk about it, when you try to find solutions, you get the stress is reduced as you talk and bond, and the oxytocin level goes up, which is originally discovered and called the maternal bonding hormone. It actually is it's the bonding hormone among people, but it's naturally the strongest hormone after a baby is born, and it floods the mother with the hormone that bonds her to the kid, to the child. And we do that when we're stressed and we talk to our good friends or our cohorts. Our stress goes down, oxytocin goes up, and this is enhanced by estrogen. Now, the men who have had to be warriors when there have been stress and troubles and all that, their initial reaction, your initial reaction, is to then have a adrenaline reaction of flight or fight, and this is enhanced by testosterone. So if the world is in crisis, if humanity is in crisis, boy, do we ever need men and women together, oxytocin, you know, and adrenaline to deal with what's facing us.